If you have not changed the way that you buy meat yet, you should make the switch to Good Ranchers today. When you subscribe, Good Ranchers will give you 1.5 pounds of free bacon in every box for a year. That's a $240 value. And this bacon tastes so good because Good Ranchers pigs are never crated and they never use antibiotics or added hormones. And they have heritage breeds that have historically produced the best pork in the world. Subscribe today and get their price lock guarantee. What you pay today will be what you pay a year from now. With Good Ranchers, I consistently get the same quantity and quality of meat every single time. Their all-natural burgers, USDA prime steaks, and better-than-organic chicken have changed my standard for great meat, and it will change yours too. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use code Dana for $20 off your next box. Get free bacon, great meat, a secure price, and a bonus of $20 off today at GoodRanchers.com with code Dana when you subscribe. GoodRanchers.com, code Dana. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
You recently launched your re-election campaign. You've said questions about your age are legitimate, and your response is always, just watch me. But the country is watching, and recent polling shows that 70% of Americans, including a majority of Democrats, believe you shouldn't run again. What do you say to them? What do you say to those Americans who are watching and aren't convinced? You've said you can beat Trump again. Do you think you're the only one?
I may not be the only one, but I know him well, and I know the danger he presents to our democracy, and we've been down this road before. And with regard to age, you know, and polling data, I notice the polling data I keep hearing about is that I'm between 42% and 46% favorable rating, et cetera. And but everybody running for re-election at this time has been in the same position. There's nothing new about that. You're making it sound like Biden's really underwater. Number one. Number two, when the same polling data asks whether they think what kind of job I've done, it gets overwhelmingly positive results. From 58% thinking everything from the CHIPS Act and all the things we've done.
Well, he expected that question because it was written down for him. Little cheat sheet that he had. Welcome to the program. Whew. Dana Loesch here with you. Top of this first hour, everybody, this Thursday. Happy Thursday to you. You can listen to the radio program in a market near you. You can also watch the simulcast of the radio show on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. So are we surprised that he does this? I mean, I'm not surprised that he has this because it's Biden, right? I'm not surprised that he has this, and I'm not surprised that he had a cheat sheet for it, because wasn't he caught with something like this earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Like right after he was, right after, I went back and I was looking at my notes and I found the story, but the URL changed so I couldn't pull it up and I couldn't get it in Wayback either. But, excuse me, the point is the story is that he, because he was caught doing something like this before. And there, the question that was asked of him, and this was at his press avail with the South Korean president, where he was asked, you know, a lot of people think you're too old to run, basically. And she was asking about his, you know, watch me response. And he went back to his, like, very specific polling data. Except, you know, there's some issues with the polling data that he cites. It's push poll. It's very small sample. The majority of Democrats don't like him. That's their terror, but they don't know how to deal with it. So they don't really know what to do. They don't know what to do. So the big thing was that RFK Jr. and Marianne Williamson together, what did they end up like at 20-something%, 29% almost? And that was a Fox poll. That's pretty wild that they're pulling that much, but it's still early on. It's still incredibly early on. So I don't know. He's not going to sit here and admit anything about his age. He's not going to say anything about his age. But he did have, in the cheat sheet, he was in the thing showed, it was somebody from the Los Angeles Times, question number one, and it had her question printed on the thing. And she and Mary Bruce from ABC were the only reporters that were actually called. The problem with this is that it's not a real free exchange of ideas, number one. Number two, you're not getting a real-time, honest reaction from the President of the United States on an issue. That's number two. Number three, it shows collusion between the press and the White House, whether it's collusion that's intended to, you know, assist the White House or not, however they mean it. It shows that there's some sort of collusion with the press and the White House. And it's not, this is not a free press. I don't know why we keep using the term free press, because we haven't had a free press in I don't know how long. We don't have a free press because we don't have a press that's free of their own bias to actually be able to do honest reporting on behalf of the people. And that's their job. I mean, it's supposed to be. We all know that people have their preferences, but when you can't even report basic fact or distribute or share information because your preferences get in the way, what it shows is that you're serving self and not your audience. And that's a major problem. That's the situation that we're in. Like, I don't expect people who are anchors on television to not have their own preferences, especially if they work in editorial. You know, I'm not a straight news anchor, obviously. I do opinion editorial. But somebody like Brett Baer is. Now, I don't expect him to hide or not have any of his preferences, but he's so good at also just delivering information. And you can do that being in, you know, being an editorial. But the balance is, are you serving self or are you serving your audience? And when I look at the names on, you know, his cheat sheet here, who are these people serving? Are they sitting, are they reporting on behalf of their audience or what? And I reject the answer that, oh, well, this is so that he can deliver a real comprehensive answer. I reject that because the president of the United States is supposed to be able to deliver a comprehensive answer when asked without, you know, a cheat sheet. The president of the United States is not this, it's not the job that's supposed to be treated like a participation trophy. You know, this is not also a diversity hire here for Joe Biden. And that's the issue. And I think that the left, I've seen them say, oh, well, you know, this is the right is overreacting to this. It's, and I don't think so. And I think that because the press doesn't seem to understand this and doesn't understand the implications of what that means is even more troubling. I mean, the people who are upset about it are the people that the press is supposed to be serving. You know, these are the people that the press is supposed to be serving, and they're not getting that from these. And you understand why there's such this dislike of the legacy press as a result of this. I mean, they got caught. And there were some saying, oh, this is, you know, this is just kind of business as usual. It's really not, though. It really isn't. I mean, sometimes you know who's going to ask questions in advance, because for the sake of time, etc. But I mean, to this extent, it's insane. So I reject that. So last night, the House passed the debt ceiling. Debt ceiling's passed, and it's not going anywhere. It'll probably be DOA. I mean, I would imagine. What I love, one of the headlines that I had for you on my, this was funny, that was on the Substack, Chapter and Verse, that you can go and subscribe to. Things are so bad that the government has admitted UFOs exist and no one cares. It's true.
No, but look, guys.
Yeah, they passed the debt ceiling bill in spite of Bighorn. And they're cutting back on wasteful spending. They're demanding accountability. And it's not going to be, it won't be passed. It's not going to be passed in the Senate. It's not going to go anywhere. And even if it did, Biden said he was going to veto it. But I'm glad that Republicans did it anyway. They should, because that's their job. They're supposed to be representing their constituents, and constituents wanted some accountability and cut spending. And that's exactly what they passed. Now, Democrats have to own it otherwise. So I have some interesting audio for you today, and we're going to talk about some of the primary stuff because someone nuked their campaign yesterday. And I want to preface this. I'm not going to get into it just yet. But I want to preface this by saying that, I mean, obviously, as we go further into the primary cycle and we go and we get into the general cycle, everybody has, I was just talking about it, everybody has preferences. Some people have preferences for some have preferences for one, some have preferences for issues, etc. I have a major preference with not having Republican candidates look idiotic. I also have a major preference for candidates who remember their principles when they run in a primary and try not to run to the left of a perceived potential candidate. And this is what really frustrated me with some of the stuff that I saw yesterday. Rarely have I been that angry over something that a Republican has said in a primary. Because I felt like there were, it felt like a show. It felt like a show, and it felt like things were being thrown in our face. And I'm going to dive into it. We're going to dive into it after headlines because it's a big topic. But I was genuinely angry when I saw that. And I wasn't the only one. I posted about the remark that Nikki Haley had made, and we'll play that and discuss here shortly, on Instagram. And within like 15 minutes, it had a couple of hundred comments. It's over 1,000 something right now. It's almost 2,000 comments. It's insane. People, and they are all similar. It is wild. The reaction was pretty universal across the board. And I have never seen anyone step onto a rake that soon in their primary. And I have some thoughts about all of this because I'm done walking on eggshells about stuff, and I'm done trying not to hurt one campaign's feelings or another campaign's feelings, because it's weird. You can be in commentary and you can be in editorial, but you know, you also want to deliver for your listeners. I want to make sure that I bring some of these people on air and ask them questions that I've seen you guys discuss so that you guys can see them being questioned. Like, you know, when Haley and I went back and forth on Ukraine, or when, you know, I've had people like John Cornyn, and we've gone back and forth on, you know, red flag law, and I grilled him on that. I want to bring people on air and ask them the questions that I know they're not going to be asked, or at least aggressively and not uncivilly, but aggressively in any other format. And I'm just done. I'm done playing kiss ass to try to be nice with some of these bookers to get some of these people on. And I don't mean I don't sit here and pull my punches. I say what I say, but I think sometimes there needs to be a certain level of heat that is proportionate to the offense committed by a particular candidate. And I have never been more disappointed in a particular candidate, and I have never seen the veil drop so fast as I did yesterday. We're going to talk about that. This is one of the reasons, you know, I live in an area of Texas where we got all these politicians coming in and they want to fundraise. I don't go to these people's fundraisers. Nikki Haley's been in my town. I don't know how many times. I've had friends of mine actually host her for fundraisers. I don't go. Why do I want to go? Why do I want to sit here and blow smoke up the ass of some politician that I will not be friends with privately? Why do I want to sit here and do that? I don't need to represent like that. I don't need to do any of that stuff. That's not what I want to do. I'd rather jump off my roof and break my legs down to nubbins than have to sit here and endure an evening of that for anybody. Mike Pompeo comes through here all the time, constantly. Like, there are tons of people that come through here. It's a hot spot. And I get invited, every single one of them. And no offense to, you know, the kind people that throw them. And I understand the strategy of it. But I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going and getting myself involved in some photos and having it misrepresented to look like I'm supporting someone else or another. So I'm done walking on eggshells. Some people got to get told. And we're going to start doing it coming up after headlines. Like, I wasn't doing it before, but you know what I mean.
Do you know what Joe Biden thinks is wacko? Republicans want to reduce spending from $60 trillion to $56 trillion over the next 10 years to reduce the debt ceiling, although he voted for those same cuts as a senator from Delaware, while inflation is here to stay. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, I have this under LOL. New York Post, ESPN fires a Major League Baseball reporter, Marley Rivera, for calling a fellow reporter a fun see you next Tuesday. She was fired. She uttered the words. It was on a hot mic. So come on. She uttered the words on a hot mic towards a fellow female reporter over an Aaron Judge interview. She's been a dugout reporter on Home Derby Run, and she was valued for her different perspective. It occurred Tuesday at Yankee Stadium. I got to say, you know what? No. It was a hot mic. It was an accident. She was rebuffed, though. She said she because that's what she had said, too. And they said, that's unfair, blah, blah, blah. First off, I think they're being really harsh on her because usually where there's smoke, there's fire. Just got to say. It's true. Yeah, I said it. So also Jerry Springer kicked the bucket, 79 years old. Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
What? The former mayor.
And?
Talk show host.
And Santa lives up at the North Pole. Let's see. We told you about the house debt ceiling vote. You know what, Kane? My mother said, I had two rules in my family. If you don't have anything nice, go sit by grandma. If you don't have anything nice to say, go sit by grandma. Because that's the only one who tolerated and enjoyed it. And secondly, never speak ill of the dead. And I am unable to do either of these things. So we're moving on. So I'm being a good person. Okay? Okay? All right. So also, this is kind of funny. Tucker Carlson was photographed in Florida. I want to know what kind of souped up golf cart that is. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But he was talking to the media. He said that he's enjoying his retirement's going well and that he's having dinner with his wife for the first time in 7 years. He says appetizers plus entree as he drove his chopped up golf cart away. That was kind of funny. We have a lot more on the way, folks. We got to talk about 2024. Stick with us. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
What is your reaction to that, as we still have yet to see him jump officially into the race?
You know, as governor, I took a double-digit unemployment state and I turned it into an economic powerhouse. Businesses were my partners, because if you take care of your businesses, you take care of your economy takes care of the people, and everyone wins. And so that's the way we dealt with it. South Carolina was a very anti-woke state. It still is. And if Disney would like to move their hundreds of thousands of jobs to South Carolina and bring the billions of dollars with them, I'll let them know. I'll be happy to meet them in South Carolina and introduce them to the governor and the legislature that would welcome it.
Bring your groomer money to South Carolina. That's the message from presidential hopeful Nikki Haley yesterday on Fox. I understand that sometimes, you know, campaigning gets, you know, a little hard and you want to get out of the race, but damn, you don't have to do so theatrically. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. What do Republicans do this to themselves? Why do people step on rakes and just nuke their campaigns like this? So here's the more that I thought about this, the angrier that it made me, because it felt like these, you know, some of these people talk a really good game about, you know, sticking up for parents and sticking up for voters, because that's what all of this was about. That's what all of this was about with Florida. This is about the parental rights and education bill, the whole don't say gay thing. That's what this was about. And for her to say what she said, she tweeted out, quote, and I sent this out to all you subscribers. The tweet's still up there. She said, quote, "Hey, Disney, my home state will happily accept your 70,000 plus jobs if you want to leave Florida. We've got great weather, great people, and it's always a great day in South Carolina. South Carolina's not woke, but we're not sanctimonious about it either." Direct quote. She tweeted that out. So she decided, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how forthright do you want me to be? Kane?
As forthright as you need to be.
No, just tell it. Do you want it 11 or do you want it like 2?
Actually, you know what? Today I kind of wanted 11.
She used a cutie little term to kiss Trump's butt so she could get VP. That's what she wants to do. She's auditioning for VP. I know that she takes great offense at that being said. She's auditioning for VP. Let's not play around. And don't sit here and tell me that you're not woke when every other syllable out of your mouth is woman, woman. I'm a woman. I'm a woman running for president. Vagina, vagina. I'm a woman. I got a vagina. Woman, woman running for president. Woman. So don't, I can't really take seriously that, you know, the whole, well, we're not woke. But I mean, come up with your own insult at least. I mean, don't steal sanctimonious from Trump. Do people know what that, like, you know, what some of that means? Like the Latin root? Anyway, but just use your own insult. The person who was sanctimonious in this was her towards Florida parents. I mean, one of the reasons, let's be real about this, one of the reasons that Disney is such a powerhouse economically is because of the favored status and special accommodations that they received exclusively. No other corporation in Florida received this. And they use that as leverage to wage war on parents in Florida because Disney decided bizarrely that they were going to get involved in this whole parental rights and education bill. That's what this is. That's what this whole fight is about. And the parental rights in education bill was simply a bill that affirmed parental rights over their children in the classroom. Meaning, if something is considered age inappropriate, parents need to be asked before it's introduced in the classrooms as reading material or put in the libraries. See, it's not like the left when they literally pulled Dr. Seuss and Mark Twain's books off the shelves. That's a banning. This was parents need to be asked. You know, if you are, just to go back to that one stupid tweet George Conway made a couple of weeks ago, where he was talking about strip clubs in Florida, probably because he was in one. You wouldn't take your kids to a strip club. You wouldn't take your seven-year-old to a strip club, would you? Because that would be inappropriate for their age, would it not? Just like you wouldn't take some young children to an R-rated movie. It would be inappropriate for their age, would it not? So do we also agree that maybe having picture books showing teenagers wearing strap-ons and engaging in all various forms of sex graphically and explaining it in great detail along with the photos, that might not be age-appropriate either, right? And don't you think as parents that you have the authority to determine what is or is not age-appropriate for your child? Because if you take a position opposite that, then that's what you're supporting. That's what the Parental Rights and Education Bill was all about. There's nothing sanctimonious about it. Disney decided to use the economic leverage that they had been given from their favored status, from all of these exclusive anti-capitalist and big government accommodations and favors. They used that as a way to get involved in this and try to wage war over other people's kids. And so they had that status removed. And there are some Republicans, apparently Nikki Haley is one of them, who think that this is an anti-conservative position. So I'm curious, is the new flaccid Republican platform to support cronyism and to support giving exclusive accommodations to big corporations so that they don't have to pay their fair share? Isn't that what the left, by the way, the left, Disney's the only company that the left is, the only corporation the left has been cool with not paying their fair share. Because that's exactly what this was. There are a lot of people who don't understand the Reedy Creek development. They don't understand how it came to be, how it was structured. They don't understand the nature of the original board. They don't even understand the takeover. I get it that people are busy and they don't have time to get involved in municipality minutiae in other people's states. But if you're going to go on Twitter and rail about it, or if you're going to run for president and tweet about it and give interviews about it, maybe, just maybe, do us all the courtesy of understanding it first. Now, I mean, this situation, because Disney, and John Turley had a really great write-up on this, because he said, oh, Disney's going to file suit, but they're going to lose. He's like, they're going to lose this. And he explained why. And he said Disney's unchecked authority. You know, it's not this. He goes, the House of Mouse made a costly miscalculation. He said that the Reedy Creek Improvement District controlled the Disney property. By the way, this is the thing. Sidebar to this. All these Republicans go out there and the ones that are trying to run on the left, to the left, they're like, oh, well, Ron DeSantis and the state law and Florida lawmakers appointed a board. They handpicked the board. You guys didn't object when Disney entirely controlled the board. That's one thing John Turley notes. The Reedy Creek Improvement District controlled the Disney property, and Disney controlled its board. The board technically was elected by those living on Disney property, which amounts to a small number of people living amongst the quote-unquote cast members. He said it was a breathtaking deal for the company. It set its own building standards, granted its own construction permits, determined the scope of services, building codes, waste collection, and other infrastructure matters. He added, outside of the Vatican, such self-governance is little more than a fantasy for companies and organizations. And it was when Disney went public with their stated goal of taking down the Parental Rights in Education Act. And then Bob Chapek caved to his employees. They wanted the company to take a public position. Disney's been woke for a long time, but this was a new level of getting involved in politics. So you can't say that people were waging war against Disney because of its wokery. Disney's been woke for a long time and nothing has happened. It's when they decided to actually wage war against the people who granted them, you know, all of these exceptions and exemptions and accommodations. So Turley noted the state responded by removing the favored status, gutting the Reedy Creek Improvement District, creating a new board with governing authority over Disney properties. And he added, Disney could have still tried to find a compromise. Instead, it did something even more reckless. In the final days of the Disney-dominated board, the members voted to transfer powers to the company. Disney is used to being its own self-governing boss. The history may have warped its judgment in attempting this power grab. He said it's a move that would make the Pirates of the Caribbean blush. He said the Declaration of Restricted Covenants gives Disney total control of the development and even bans the new board from using Disney's name or any of its fanciful characters. It added what is called a royal clause used in England since 1692. And he said, Disney may have been too clever by half. The Hail Mickey play is fundamentally flawed. And then he proceeds to legally gut it. Checkmate. It's over. Disney's just prolonging the inevitable. And you have some Republicans that are choosing to side with the left. You have Asha Hutchins and even Donald Trump. Which is why I said Nikki Haley trying to be cutie and not even coming up with her own insult is a VP audition move. And it's not like Disney's going to be able to just like pack up and leave. And by the way, judging by the all around 2000 something comments just on one of my Instagram posts about this and tons of people from South Carolina with their accounts saying that they're in South Carolina with photos of them in their house in South Carolina, they're livid about this. They don't want Disney there. But maybe she wants that Disney donor money. So I did a deep dive. This is all like public record. Did you know that in 2020, America First Action, which is the Trump-aligned PAC, received more money than Joe Biden? From Disney. From the Walt Disney Company. Not employees, from Disney. Now, I know that like some of the top executives have also given a lot to America First PAC, and I have that those records too. But I'm just saying, you know, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she's after that Disney, that Mickey money. Who knows? But you know what I think? In order to try to differentiate yourself from a perceived potential candidate, running to the left of him is one of the dumbest moves I can imagine. And bizarrely claiming that removing Disney's anti-capitalist accommodation is big government and criticizing Disney's fighting parents for control of their kids. I mean, whose side are you on? Imagining insulting an entire state of voters by labeling their fight over parental rights and education as sanctimonious for a VP audition. You know, there are some people that are so hell-bent on securing power that they will sacrifice the fight over who can influence your kids and how to do it. That's the real issue here. And I'll ask this too. If Nikki Haley can't stand up to Disney, how in the world would she be able to stand up to China? If she can't stand up to Mickey Mouse, how would she ever be able to stand up to Xi Jinping or Vladimir Putin? If you can't even deal with a smaller scale tyranny at home, how in the world would you ever deal with it on a larger scale? I just don't see how you come back from this. If you're siding with woke corporations against parents and their kids, you better expect heat and response. And that's what this is. There are a few people out there who do not understand that the very definition of big government is to grant limitless accommodations exclusively to a favored corporation. Removing those accommodations is the opposite of big government. So I guess she's okay with giving certain businesses, corporations that are woke like this, especially, special privileges. I was just really shocked to see that, because I thought that she was savvier than this, and I thought that she was a better strategist than this. But I don't even know if this rises to the level of being VP material. The most dangerous place in the world is between a parent and their child. So take note, primary candidates. When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Well, Caitlin, it's not uncommon for the White House to prepare these types of briefing materials for the president, but it's the level of specificity that is in the spotlight in this moment. As you noted, that note card included the name and photo of a reporter and also a possible question. Now, it's worth noting that her question was not identical to what was on that note card, and her outlet says that they did not submit any questions to the White House ahead of this press conference. But we have seen the president in the past carrying around these note cards with details about the events, where he needs to go, the people that he's meeting with. Now, these types of moments are things that Republicans have seized on, especially as they have tried to highlight President Biden's age. Yeah.
Why weren't we playing bingo, man? I would have had a bingo. They seized, Republicans seized because they pointed out something. Can we start saying that instead of just like, oh, he observed something or he saw something or he recognized? You seized! I watched you seize that. You're like, I just looked at it. What are you talking about? I just noticed it. What are you talking about? You seized it. I get it. You seized it. Can't even deal with these people. Yeah, what? Yeah, pounced. They pounced. I mean, can you believe that these Republicans seized upon the notes here? Well, I mean, I saw this. I got to share. I saw this one headline. Where this is someone who is with AFP, Agence France-Presse, saying that POTUS is talking about kids, talking to kids of staff members on Bring Your Kid to Work Day. He tells them that he speaks every day to his six grandkids and is crazy about them. Six?
Six.
Does he mean seven?
He should mean seven.
What a horrible person. He has literally seven grandkids, but they refuse to acknowledge the daughter that Hunter Biden fathered with the woman who dragged him in on a court order to take a paternity test, proved that he was the dad, had to drag him back to court repeatedly to get him to pay child support. And the Bidens won't even acknowledge this girl. That's evil. Shame on you. What ridiculous, horrible people. No wonder all their kids are so damn screwed up. Golly, that just makes me so mad because it's inconvenient for you. This child has to pay. Well, I mean, they do support abortion on demand up till birth, so that's kind of fitting, is it not? We have more on the way, folks, just to give you a heads up. Wokery and the war on kids. That Randy Weingarten hearing, ooh, that was a trip. Stay with us. As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Rodriguez, I apologize that you had to. You're here for a hearing on the border. They don't want to talk about a border. Mr. Swalwell is down there. Obviously, everybody knows he's made some comments. He's got a checkered past. He's alleged.
I'm sorry,
relationships.
A checkered past?
Alleged,
I would ask.
It's my time.
Mr.
Alleged affairs relationships
past?
With.
No,
Yum
sir.
Yum.
You don't get to say that. That's not
he
true.
Had alleged relationships with Yum Yum.
I ask the gentleman's words be taken down.
You don't get to say that.
Chairman, I ask the gentleman's words be taken down as casting a slur on another member.
I am here.
He's making.
Yum Yum. Words of the gentleman be taken down as casting a slur on another member.
Yum Yum. Yeah, that was too good. That's too good. That was all hell broke loose yesterday in the House. It was the Fing Fing reference. Now it's going to be Yum Yum forever. Yum. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of our second hour. I thought you would like that. That was pretty good. You got that too. If you get the newsletter, I sent that out to you. I sent that. How did I put it? Because I. Oh, no. Yeah, I said Representative Troy Nels calls out Eric Swalwell for having an affair with Yum Yum. And Swalwell gets mad and cusses. Which he totally did. Oh, gosh, you'd just love to see it. Welcome again back to the program. Your amused curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast of the radio show. You can stream it. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program. YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. Sign up for that newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I mean, Fing Fing sounds not as cool as Yum Yum. By the way, I'm glad that you didn't play that Bieber song because I thought better of it after. Because the guys were like, we're going to play the Bieber song. That Bieber, that Yum Yum song by Bieber. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to murk myself on air. So it's going to happen. Can't do it.
You wanted it at first.
No. At first I was like, no. Okay, no. And then I thought better of it. You're welcome. Because then I'd have to play like a whole bunch of Slayer or something just to, you know, cleanse our ears. Anyway, so he was upset. Swalwell said, don't say that blank to me. And tempers flared. It's a good way to put it. Over his suspected ties to the Chinese spy, he goes, you do not get to say that. Burp. And I love, by the way, it was so, the way that they did it, because Nels was, he just kept going. He knew he was trolling. He knew it. Republicans brought a cave troll today. I was reading this the transcript, and I can just hear the passive aggressiveness. It's just, he's like, yeah, I apologize that, you know, you had to be here for this hearing on the border. You know, Swalwell's down there. Obviously, everyone knows he's made some comments. He's got a checkered past, and Swalwell, the guy threatened to nuke everyone and farted on TV. I mean, that's not a joke. He actually did that. That was not audio added. That was a real video. I don't know if you know that. That was legit real. And then he's like, excuse me, what? Checkered past. And then he just gave Nels the, you know, Nels goes, you know, it's my time. Alleged affairs, relationship with Yum Yum. And then he kept going. He goes, well, he had alleged relationships with Yum Yum. And now he's angry. You couldn't hear him say that because Swalwell was shouting. He was so mad. Oh, my gosh. Now, of course, you know, Nels is referring to the honey trap known as Christine Fang, Fang Fang. I've had two cups of coffee today. Actually, a cup and a half, cup and a third. So I'm a little wound tight. Can I just say something? If you're going to call someone a honey trap, they should be attractive.
Yes.
Okay. Like, don't be like, oh, purported honey trap. And then I see a picture and I'm like, golly, the hell? What in drunk goggles is going on here? Right? Like, if you're going to be a honey trap, you should be, I think of like Jessica Rabbit style, not
Fine Fine.
I just, it's not, or Yum Yum. Oh my gosh, it's going to be forever. I'm going to do it forever. Oh, the next time if I have met, I rarely go to DC, but if I'm ever in DC again and I see Swallow, I'm going to go, hey, Yum Yum, just to see what happens. All right, so they went back and forth. That was still, he just kept going with it. Yeah, he had alleged relationships with Yum Yum. And the entire time, Swalwell's yelling. This is one of my favorites. Now he's angry. Oh, that was so great. Okay, but this is also, I have a couple of bits of audio here. He deserved it. Don't think that Nels was being too mean to Swalwell. Swalwell deserved it, especially after saying this audio soundbite 5. Listen.
You, whose job is to protect our kids. I look at this as very binary.
Sure you do.
You can protect your home. You can take your kids hunting. You can shoot for sport. But if you're not on the side of protecting our kids, you're on the side of helping their killers. That's it. You either can help the kids or help the killers.
So the guy who screwed a Chinese spy wants you to accept his false choice. That's the best way to put it. Because that's exactly what it is. This is not a and or. That's not at all what this is. And this is also the guy who threatened to nuke people. This is also the guy, can I just add, when I corrected him about some firearm statistics, he asked to speak to my boss. And
was God available?
Yeah, I'm like, the Lord does take all prayers. My response wasn't very Christian. Let me just put it to you like that. This is a couple of years ago. It wasn't my best moment. I mean, to some of you, it might have been, but it wasn't my best moment. I can't remember what I said. Like, you know, I am the boss or something like that. I can't remember. Yeah, but I don't know. I just, and then I added like another response to it. It wasn't very Christian also. Anyway, so the guy who has all of these issues wants you to accept his false choice because that's exactly what this is. It's a false choice. And they had some fireworks going on yesterday. Yum, yum. Now, the debt ceiling deadline has been extended a month thanks to, yay, Texas. Yeah, until the jump in tax receipts gives the United States a one-month delay until the debt ceiling crisis. You know, the government theft.
Yeah.
They said that the report is, and this is Goldman Sachs chief economist, who said at this rate, an early June deadline looks as nearly as likely as the late July deadline that we project. And they said that the tax collection season has been largely kind of left for dead, sparking a furious surge in U.S. credit default swaps, etc. I mean, the plan that McCarthy put forward, I think, is as good as Democrats are going to get. But they don't want to take it. They don't want to take it at all. They don't want anything to do with it. Not what they want. And I just don't. I look at it this way, too. I'm kind of glad that it didn't work, because if it means that Republicans have to go back to the negotiating table, I think that they shouldn't do anything until they defund the ATF and some other things, especially right now. When you have these agencies, and we talked about this yesterday, trying to make all of you, you know, so many of us felons for things that are completely legal to purchase, and they want to change the rules, and they want those rules to be followed as law. The only way that they're going to be able to deal with this is to just defund it outright. Now, I don't know what that means for them, how they would message that going towards, you know, the election, but I also don't care. I just think there needs to be, that's a winning move, and that's ultimately the only thing that they can do at this point. So we'll see, but I'm kind of glad for that reason that it was sort of shut down. Although it's still a win for McCarthy. I mean, no matter what, it's still a win for them. Democrats, I don't think that they realize that Republicans in this period from selecting the House Speaker till now had become a little bit more unified, except for, you know, some of the four big corn. And that's what they were. The reason that they were holding out. So Democrats, this is going to be on Democrats, because here Republicans had pushed forward, and that's the messaging that they have going forward. Well, we offered you this and you didn't want to take it. We offered you this opportunity. You didn't want to take it. Here we had a proposal and you did not want to take it. And now it will be entirely on them. So I'm okay with that. And I think that if they come back, then they need to add any kind of defunding of anything else. But I mean, it's going to look like it will be, it's going to look like it's Democrats' fault because they wanted to have more spending. So this was a good play, I think, by Republicans for the most part. All right. So a couple of other things I want to make sure that we're hitting. We touched on some, okay, I want to touch on some of the woke right here. So we had the Bud Light thing. Now Maybelline. Maybelline is facing a boycott after their sponsorship with this dude who had, how many sponsorships did this guy have? Like every week, something else comes out. Dylan Mulvaney had posted a TikTok video applying the brand's makeup. And he still looks like a dude. He looks like a dude with makeup on. He still looks like a dude. There's just no other way to put it. I was watching part of the little video that was embedded in the news article, and he still looks like a dude. So after Bud Light, now they saw their sales slump by 17%. Now Maybelline is now dealing with this issue. We're going to see, and Maybelline is part of the L'Oreal group. That's who owns Maybelline. So they've been getting slammed with comments like, which says, quote, "Hey, Maybelline, women have fought for years to get, you know, to this point. And this, you know, this man is appropriating our sex and taking us back. You support this, etc. Boycott Maybelline." So that is, I mean, all I was looking at the full list. Everything from KitchenAid, Motorola. Motorola's around. Motorola is still around. Wait, hold up. That almost shocks me more. For real? I didn't know that. Okay, Cupid. I don't know what that is. Crest. Like, you're a toothpaste. Why? Why do you got to be doing this stuff? SodaStream. Neutrogena. Why does Neutrogena got to be doing this stuff? Why? But I do think it's interesting how it was Bud Light that had more than all of this other stuff. Because when I look at all of these other brands, these are traditionally female brands. Bud Light was the one that was specifically like more male oriented, and my friend Carol Markowitz was suggesting that, you know, this is like the first time dudes have had to deal with this in their space. And I think women like the fact that dudes have their spaces even in advertising, right? I like it. I think they, I mean, just women do, men should as well. We have just some of the stuff that we have on the way. Let me pull this up, because we've got the unbelievable stuff going on with the children's education issue. I'm pulling this story up. Bear with me for a moment, because their Washington Free Beacon, they had a fact check put on them because they had this ongoing thread and coverage of Randy Weingarten, who was testifying in Congress yesterday. And the stuff that she was saying was absolutely wild. And they actually got fact checked, even though they were entirely accurate. So we're going to discuss that. We're also going to discuss this insane story that's coming. What state was this from? This story that was coming out of Minnesota. So in Minnesota, there was a bill that had actually been proposed that was aimed at normalizing pedophilia. And that is not an exaggeration. Well, it was dropped after massive backlash across the state. We're going to discuss that as well, because it is a war on kids for sure.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Iran's Navy has seized a U.S.-bound oil tanker called Advantage Suite in international waters in the Gulf of Oman, fifth vessel that they've hijacked in 2 years. Officials say that the ship sent a distress call at 1:15 p.m. traveling from Kuwait. It was headed to Houston, and the last known location was just north of Oman's capital city early Thursday. This was from our own maritime military. We made that, who revealed that information earlier today. And they said that it had been abruptly hijacked in international waters from Iran's own naval branch. So murders in Democrat-led cities have jumped 10% since 2021 alone, thanks to soft-on-crime policies, according to a new study released by WalletHub. Researchers found that Memphis, Tennessee, New Orleans, Louisiana, Richmond, Washington, D.C., Detroit and Michigan are suffering from the biggest homicide rate problems. All five cities are led by left-wing mayors. They have left-wing chiefs and left-wing DAs, soft on crime. Metashares popped 12% after the company had first reported sales have increased. It's increased in four quarters. So they are issuing optimistic guidance. The forecast for the second quarter also exceeded expectations. And GM killed the Chevy Bolt, which was supposed to be the Tesla killer. Oh, but now it's the Chevy Bolt that was killed. Ugly, totally ugly car. Stay with us. We got more in store.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
When I was younger, I lived in a state that it was very hard for African Americans to have a fair chance. It was segregated by law. And so as a high school student, I got involved in what was called the Civil Rights Movement.
How many times has this been disproven?
All of the times.
I just need a second. How many times have we had him on video saying this thing? Like New York Times fact-checked it, and he just still says it. He just doesn't care. Does no one tell him this? Does no one stop and say, hey, Joe? Nick Ixnay on the Isley. It's pig Latin. It's multilingual. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. They really need to tell him this stuff. He can't just be going out and saying the same stuff over and over again. You have, Kane, I know, a montage of... what was the thing that they called at the White House today? It's like the White House staffers brought their kids to work, right?
Yeah.
And it's awkward is the best way to put it. There, you have you were playing on break some of this audio from Karine Jean-Pierre.
The hiding audio?
Yes. Can we?
Yeah.
For real, please.
All right. Here we go.
The White House is a very big place. It is all consuming and very, very big. It has 132 rooms, 35 bathrooms. So each one of you can have a bathroom if you choose. Lots of place to play, lots of space to play and hide and seek from your mom and dad. Oh, okay, we got to take her up here. All right, maybe I'll go play with you too. Hide from your mom and dad.
Tell me that you've never really hung around children without telling me that you've never really hung around children. Also sounds kind of creepy, doesn't it? Just saying, kind of does, just a little bit. So they have bring their kids to work day, the White House staffers, and the president was speaking to them at the White House press briefing. And he was asked, too, about his grandkids, and he mentioned six. He actually has seven, but they refused to acknowledge the little girl that Hunter Biden recently had with the London Roberts. He had an affair with her, got her pregnant. She had to take him to court for a paternity test, which proved that he was the father. Then she had to take him back to court because he wasn't paying child support. And then they're demanding that he come back to court. A judge demanded that he show up. Because he was hiding his financial information from her so he could downplay how much child support he had to pay. And some have been speculating that he was hiding out at the White House and going to Ireland with his dad so that he could avoid being subpoenaed. And then apparently he's at some big billionaire donor, Democrat donor's property somewhere in California, I think it was. So that's the fact, and that they keep forgetting to mention this little girl. That's not a piddly thing. I just, how horrible. What is the downside of including her? What is the downside of including this kid? Oh, they would rather her go without knowing her father or her father's family so they don't have to own Hunter Biden's embarrassing behavior. They choose to shield that nasty cokehead over the life that he created. These are horrible people. I just think that's just awful. Politics aside, I think they're scum. I think the whole family's garbage. I didn't feel that way, really. I didn't like Barack Obama's policies at all. But at least he and Michelle had a marriage, you know. They raised kids, and they, you know, they acknowledged their kids and all that stuff. I mean, for the love. I disagreed with, he was wrong on everything. Horribly wrong. And I thought that he name-called and he, you know, impugned the character of half the country. But, you know, with the Bidens, they just seem like truly awful people. And I think this is just case, just an example of that. How do you not acknowledge that little girl? Because you're so, they're so terrified that they would have to, I guess what, there would be some sort of accountability for Hunter Biden's behavior, so they can't acknowledge her. You know, she's going to grow up and see this. She's going to grow up and know that, you know, her father's family and her father ignored her for her whole life. They're just, they're weird about kids, which explains all the stuff that's going on with this party, too, by the way. So I wanted to touch on this, even though now it's, there was a lot of backlash against it. So there was this bill that was being proposed. It was changes to the Minnesota Human Rights Bill. And they ended up dropping it due to the backlash. But the fact that it had been introduced at all was really wild. I mean, it would essentially make pedophiles a protected class in Minnesota, which is wild. But that's what they were changing. So what lawmakers in Minnesota were trying to do was to change the definition of sexual orientation to literally include pedophilia. It amended part of their human rights law that established how you have sex as a protected class, which is the stupidest thing ever. I mean, it's dumb to begin with. But what they wanted to do is that they wanted to modify it further and even include, you know, pedophilia in there. And that's not, in any way an exaggeration. The provision of the law that it, I mean, it actually, it's, it was the pedophilia provision that was instituted, that was included into this, did not, it dropped the line, sexual orientation does not include a physical or sexual attachment to children by an adult. They excluded that. They had dropped that from the actual language of the law. And by doing that, if this would have passed, and if this would have been an agreed upon amended version of their human rights bill or human rights law, that would have meant if you had refused to serve pedophiles in your business because they would be considered a protected class, you would be subject to legal action. You could actually be I'm not joking you. You could have been prosecuted for not catering to pedophiles. I am not joking. That is not an exaggeration. That's actually what they tried to do in Minnesota. And there were people who just didn't really, they weren't aware of it when it first was instituted. And the crazy thing is that it was a growing list of Democrats who supported it. There were 17 authors of this bill. John Sexton had a write-up of the Democrats originally that had proposed this. And how they were including that as part of like identity. That wasn't accidental, by the way, either. Striking out that language that excluded adults and minors, that had to actually be struck out, like line through and then omitted. I mean, that's shocking. And the person who is behind this, let me pull this up. I think the original author was Representative Lee Fink. Oh, yeah, just like you would imagine. And that's what State Representative Lee Fink was trying to do, was push this through. So they were having sexual orientation defined as having or being, this is quoting from the draft of the legislation, having or being perceived as having an emotional, physical, or sexual attachment to another person without regard to the sex of that person, or having or being perceived as having orientation for such attachment. Now, what they struck out was this. Or having or being perceived as having a self-image or identity not traditionally associated with one's biological maleness or femaleness, sexual orientation does not include a physical or sexual attachment to children by an adult. That was what was explicitly struck. So finally, after it started gaining some attention, and Lee Fink was playing victim. Absolutely playing victim. Whining, saying that the past 36 hours of this
job have been the most difficult so far. I've been confronted and called the worst things possible, threatened with murder, blah, blah, blah. All for a lie told about a small bill that doesn't change anything about sexual orientation.
Well, that's just an absolute lie. Because they actually removed that. They lined through it and removed it from the language. You can go online and see this. And so Lee Fink lied about it, and Lee Fink deserved every bit of criticism for what he was pushing. And thankfully, they dropped it, because this was a damn groomer bill. There's nothing else about it. So they said, they reported that the bill had been, that they dropped the bill. And then also, check this out. So this was Alpha News in Minnesota. They reported that Lee Fink verbally accosted Representative Dawn Gilman on the House floor, leaving Gilman shaking and scared, and she asked for security to escort her to her car because this man who thinks that he can wear lipstick and look like a woman decided to get in her face and try to intimidate her over this. That's wild. And it almost went through before people got the wiser. It almost went through. That is a terrifying thing. Can you imagine that happening in your state? You know, I honestly think we should have the death penalty for pedophilia. I think rapists and pedophiles should be put to death. No exceptions. Oh, yes. I'm pro-life. Absolutely. And I don't compare innocent babies who don't choose to do evil acts that may require the snuffing out of their souls from the earth. They don't willfully engage in any kind of behavior where they know that could be a penalty. Whereas grown adults who choose to be horrible, vicious, brutal, you know, rapists and murderers and, you know, groomers, they know what the penalty for that is. So it's an incomprehensible, ridiculous analogy to try to say that the two are even remotely in any way similar. But honestly, you know, these people, pedophiles and rapists, they thrive on the indulgence of this pathological empathy that our society is hell bent on instituting as some sort of theology. And that's what's driving this. It's sickening. Ugh. Now we have Florida Man on the way, and also the Weingarten testimony. These people think that, I guess, that we don't have access to the internet and we don't see the hours and hours and hours of video. How many interviews did Randy Weingarten of American Federation of Teachers give? How many interviews did this woman give, like throughout lockdown and everything else, where she was on television and she was promoting shutting down of schools? She was promoting keeping children masked. She was promoting remote learning as being just as good as, you know, the real thing. Now she's trying to walk away from all of that. The stuff that she was telling lawmakers in D.C. yesterday was wild. We're going to discuss some of that as well. We have a lot of things to hit.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So where's my, hang on. Okay. I have a story here from The Villages. The Villages. Oh my gosh. All right. So The Villages, it's actually they have like a whole, I didn't know that they had like a whole newspaper too. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, they totally do. It's like Villages News. That's literally it. So a suspect, a Florida man, snatched a woman's dog and slashed her tires at her apartment complex in Lady Lake. Travis Lee Cayley, 33, of Lady Lake, went to the woman's residence, began banging on her door at about 3 in the morning on Saturday at the Quarters Apartments, according to the Lady Lake Police Department. When she opened her door, apparently the individual grabbed her dog and then ran towards the parking lot, took out a knife, slashed the passenger side front tire and rear tire of her SUV. And I can't say that. what he shouted at her. And then he drove away in his green Ford Ranger pickup. So he was caught by police. When they arrived at his home, they immediately spotted his truck. They noticed the front grill was warm to the touch. He did not answer the door. When he came to the door, he declined to speak with police. He was arrested on charges of burglary and criminal mischief. But the dog, though, where's the dog? That's what we want to know. Snatched her dog and left. Where's the dog? I don't care about nothing else but the dog. Come on. How are you going to be writing this story, not even going to give us an update about the dog? Good heavens. A Florida man was found with meth inside of his M&M Minis container. Escambia County Sheriff's Office said a Pensacola man is behind bars. This was Tuesday of this week after he was caught with meth and other drug paraphernalia inside his M&M Minis container in a Winn-Dixie parking lot. Edward Busby was booked into Escambia County Jail at about 2:30 in the morning on Tuesday. Well, damn, everything was popping off 2:30 in the morning. He was booked on no bond. He's charged with possession of a controlled substance without a prescription, possession of drug paraphernalia, and failure to appear, according to his arrest report. Another green Ford Ranger. What the heck? Dang. These are two separate people in two separate parts of Florida. Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-oh. Yeah. They saw this dude with his green truck parked next to a dumpster in the parking lot of the Winn-Dixie. Deputy asked Busby and a passenger what they were doing, and they go, "We're eating sandwiches. That's all we're doing. We're eating. Turn up my thing. They said, "We're eating sandwiches," which is at 2:30 in the morning when you're behind the dumpster. So the deputy asked, "Okay, so you guys are eating sandwiches?" And they said, "Yeah, we're going to go home after this." So he gave him his driver's license, and yeah, we're just innocent men.
It's not loud enough. You
can
turn yours up.
Oh, my gosh. Here, I'm going to do it again.
We're just normal men.
I love this. What do you mean?
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
They're eating sandwiches before they went home. So they gave him the driver's license upon request. He had an active warrant out. He was placed under arrest, put in the patrol car. So then Busby told the deputy that he had a rolled up piece of plastic in his sock. It tested positive for meth. And then another deputy came to the scene with a canine, searched the car, and that's when they found more drug paraphernalia inside. So he goes to court on May 19th. Eating sandwiches. We're just here, officer, not doing anything illegal with meth. We are eating sandwiches.
Legal sandwiches.
Legal sandwiches. Just having legal sandwiches. Two dudes having sandwiches behind a dumpster of a Winn-Dixie. I mean, what is wrong at 2:30 in the morning? That is not, yeah, it's totally normal, not illegal. Really? You got to pull over to eat you a Sammy? Come on. All right, we have a third hour on the way, and you do not want to miss. We got that Weingarten testimony coming up and so much more. Stick with us.
I'm sorry, Congressman Raskin. We spent every day from February on trying to get schools open. We knew that remote education was not a substitute for opening schools, but we also knew that people had to be safe. And maybe it's because I live in New York City. I live near a hospital. Every other minute there was an ambulance. There was terror. Our members were terrified. Others were terrified. And what we were simply looking for was clear scientific guidance. And when we couldn't get it, we did it ourselves. And we worked with doctors and we worked with others. And we just tried to get it out there.
Okay, now you're all.
What? I mean, she's trying to rewrite history. Holy wow. She's trying to rewrite history on this. And that's not going to work. Welcome back to the program. Oh my gosh. You guys remember, like, we live this. Don't lie to us. We live this. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Don't forget, you can stream the show. You can watch the simulcast of the radio program, can listen in a market near you across the country, channel 347 on DirecTV. They absolutely did push that as a substitute for reopening schools. Because you guys know this. Do I need to, I've opened up my bookmarking system, and I went through all of my stories that I had had saved. All of the stories that touch on her pushing either masking or their collusion with the CDC. Oh my gosh, the complaints from teachers' unions, the CDC. This is back in September of 2021. The CDC clarified mask guidance after complaints from teachers' unions, specifically Weingarten. How far back do we all want to go, right? The CDC working with the teachers' union to push the school closure, all this stuff. Even Rochelle Walensky at the time admitted that they were listening to the unions to shape their school reopening guidelines. She actually said this on video. This was in February of 2021. How far back do you want to go? There's so many receipts. Let's not forget, this was in March of 2021, where she had said, quote, virtually every, she was trying to say that they had worked, she was trying to whitewash her participation in school closures, you know, even like a year and a half ago. New York Post, Carol Markowitz has a great takedown of that. This goes on and on and on and on. She was shaming parents who were fighting the remote learning. And this was May. This is May of 2021. Oh, my gosh. She was at the forefront of this. She was absolutely at the forefront of this. So her insistence here that, you know, they were really trying to, you know, we were not proposing this as a substitute for opening schools. We could spend the rest of this hour and probably all tomorrow's show going from the very beginning, going through all of her interviews where she actually was pushing this stuff. It does kind of shock me that someone would, knowing that there are all of these, you know, receipts and videos, et cetera, out there to the contrary of this. Oh my gosh, Kane, I've got so much. I have so much. It is overwhelming. Here she was defending it. This was February of 2021. She was defending remote learning. Randy Weingarten, American Federation of Teachers president. Terry McAuliffe had also was talking about remote learning, and she said that he has great perspective, et cetera, et cetera. There's so much here for her to sit here and pushing remote learning, pushing the masking. Even after studies were coming out showing that it wasn't even. So here's a piece. This is May 18th, 2021. It's Reuters and also New York Post and Free Beacon that had touched on this too, where she was not only pushing the child vaccination, but she was also arguing with parents about how sustainable remote learning was going to be over a long period of time. Oh my gosh, she's all over pushing this. How in the world do you get away with saying that you never ever proposed it as a substitute? Golly. These people were acting so unscientifically, and kids they're still struggling from it, I think. I really do think that kids are still struggling from it. And I think the ones that were hurt the most, honestly, I think it was college freshmen. My son was a college freshman at the time when everything shut down. His first year of college was interrupted, and high school seniors specifically. I think they were the hardest hit, followed by the juniors and the sophomores, college sophomores, and then high school juniors, and then going, you know, I think it was at that crux. I think that was the juncture where students were the most negatively impacted. And there's a lot of studies about that as well that we've talked about over the past couple of years about this, particularly the seniors and the freshmen, because, you know, I remember my son, he was home for Christmas and he went back to college, and then a month and a half in, maybe that, because I was on my book tour. My book tour was my book tour was shut down in the middle of it. It was a nightmare when you come out with a book in the middle of it, like right at the start of a lockdown. And as we left New York, I had a stop in D.C. and I had a stop in Nashville. And it was weird because as I was going to D.C., New York City started shutting things down. And after I left D.C., D.C. started shutting things down. And then I had all of my events. I had like 14 events in California, Reagan Library, you know, all this stuff. Or not just in California. I had a Reagan Library event. I had a whole bunch of stuff that had been just canceled. I had 14 events canceled like in a span of like 2 days. And then I had like 34 events around the country totaled for the book. And they were all canceled within the span of like a week. I think the last two were the subsequent following week. And I remember my son at first, they made everyone stay in their rooms. And then they said, parents, like only one parent can come in and help them move out. And then they had to schedule it so that no one met them and no one would meet each other in the hall. My husband took some photos because it was just so weird, he said. And we have photos of them having to wear masks and doing all that stuff and having to move his stuff out. And he came home. They all came home. I had a friend whose son was getting ready to start. He was starting a semester or two, a half a year early, and he was going to be going halfway across the country, and they shut him down like right in the middle. You know, I had another friend whose older daughter was about ready to do her residencies, her medical residency, and that was shut. I mean, oh my gosh, the kids that were, I think, in high school and who really needed to perform in sports and who were really going for scholarships. And I think that the young adults who were in college and who were trying to get established on their own, I think they were absolutely almost destroyed. It was really hard with our oldest because he came back and everything, your first year of college, you know, a lot of his pre-law stuff, a lot of his, you know, it was rough. And, one of our friend whose daughter was doing was she actually ended up changing her career. It was too hard for her to try to catch up after. I mean, it ruined things for people. It ruined people's lives. Over what? Over what? You were lied to, and a lot of you, your kids' lives were ruined if your lives weren't ruined. Over what? You know, are you all familiar with, y'all remember Shelley Luther? If you remember Shelley Luther, I'd like for you to keep her in your prayers because she came to prominence as the woman whose salon was shut down here in Texas. And she needed to be able to pay her bills and support her kids. And she tried to reopen her salon, followed all the guidelines in. They had the police showed up and they arrested her and they put her in jail. And she had to fight all of that for a really long time. She actually had a brain aneurysm and had been kept in a medically induced coma for about a month. And she's very slowly, it's a miracle that she's even alive, is recovering. Keep her in your prayers. And I was thinking about this, and I'm like, how much of her life was taken from her? Because she had to fight and deal with all that stuff. I mean, nobody ever knows how much time they have, but how such a significant portion of her life had to be spent fighting and litigating, because then they were trying to still like fine her and put charges against her and all this other stuff just because she wanted to reopen her salon and pay her bills, because her employees needed her to pay their bills. All of this for what? And you have Fauci still going on his tour. The guy who's trying to rewrite his history. Randy Weingarten trying to rewrite history. My youngest son had just started high school when all this happened. His first, you know, his first high school year interrupted, and he had to do classes sitting at the computer, remote classes. I mean, I have to say, it's really funny because he showed up for class the first day when they were doing Zoom class in his red hat. You know what that means? He wouldn't take it off. And the teacher was like, I'm not even going to fight with him. I'm not even. Some of my friend's parents, they were taking screenshots because they thought it was the funniest thing they've ever seen. He was not going to take it off. He was like, mm-mm. But it was hard for these kids. And my heart breaks for them. Oh my gosh, nothing makes me angrier than when I think about what these kids have suffered at the hands of these people who decided to politically weaponize this lockdown to the detriment of these kids. And then they have the audacity to lie to your face about it. These rat bastards, they have the audacity to lie to your face about it. Never forget that. Never, ever forget it. There's even more audio with her. She was trying to step around like when she first colluded with the CDC. It's just stunning. So some of the other stuff that we have coming up, I want to make sure that we hit the ongoing, obviously, we've got some wokery. Law and Order. There's a really horrific story coming out of Chicago. And a baby was killed by reckless teens who stole a car, crashed it into a family, killed their baby, and they get a misdemeanor charge.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Some dude announces a POTUS run. Some dude named Ryan Binkley. I don't know. He's in Texas. He's decided he's going to run. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, who? Former UFC superstar Nate Diaz is in custody after he was accused of choking out a dude outside of a bar. He's supposed to fight Jake Paul in weeks. Now, I got to say, Jake Shields had posted like a screen-by-screen thing disputing the fact that Diaz was, or disputing the accusation that Diaz was the aggressor. And it was pretty powerful, I got to say. I mean, I didn't see him putting no hands on anybody, you know, but I did see that guy getting really aggressive with him. So it's like, don't FA with an MMA artist and then FO and then, you know, like, especially because he's capable of doing what he can do. You know, I'm just why do people, I don't know why people do that. Anyway, he turned himself over to police in New Orleans and he's being charged with second degree battery. That, I mean, he could be 8 years in prison with that. That's the maximum penalty. The back of the guy's head was cracked, but I will say the shield stuff that he posted showed the guy being the aggressor and basically pushing on Diaz and getting in Diaz's face. And Diaz had his hands down and was trying to like de-escalate the situation from what I saw from what Jake Shields posted. Just saying. It just, you know, I mean, there's sometimes more from, you know, the story. This is a Delta plane made an emergency descent after leaky bathrooms jammed its controls and shut down autopilot. How does that happen? Okay, so they said water leaked from the plane's bathrooms that were meant for Delta pilots, and they lost their autopilot system. So two bathrooms flooded, and it caused ice to form around the plane controls. The crew declared an emergency. They descended before the pilots could get enough control to land at JFK. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's anyway. A man who said a psychic promised to remove a curse has filed his third lawsuit. A local man. What in the world? This is LA. He's going after the psychic. He said the psychic defrauded him out of $1,000, caused him emotional distress in court. He literally searched for a psychic through Google, he said, to help him in his marriage, and the psychic did not remove the curse. So he's like sued her every which way that he can. For $1,000, you got scammed. You got scammed. I mean, that's a consequence. Stay with us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
They're upset because they're actually having to live by the same rules as everybody else. They don't want to have to pay the same taxes as everybody else, and they want to be able to control things without proper oversight, which every other Floridian has to have this type of oversight, all Florida businesses. So it's a little bit much to be complaining about that. I don't think the suit has merit. I think it's political. I think they filed, you know, in Tallahassee for a reason, because they're trying to generate some district court decision.
True. They're having to live by the same rules as everyone else. Finally, for like the first time in forever, that's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And they're mad. John Turley, I linked this in the newsletter that you get, my newsletter, Chapter and Verse, over at Substack. He had a really great write-up showing, and he explained very, you know, very succinctly, Disney's just, their checkmate, it's done. They tried getting sassy and tried to do all this stupid stuff, but the law isn't on their side. I mean, and they had the state legislature, the governor had every right to do what they did. In fact, that's the limited government thing to do. Disney was living the big life off of anti-capitalist special exclusive accommodations. And they decided to use the economic power they built from that. They leveraged it to go after parents who simply wanted to be able to weigh in on age-appropriate materials for their kids in schools, which is exactly what the Parental Rights and Education Bill is about. The left keeps saying, oh, it's the Don't Say Gay Bill. Literally has not even the word gay in it. It is about making sure that stuff is age-appropriate. I mean, do you want your third grader? This will make you uncomfortable, but do you want your third grader looking at pictures of young adults with strap-ons pleasuring themselves? Do you? Do you think that passes for education? Because that's the stuff that they were talking about, that the parents were saying, we don't want our third graders exposed to this. Do you want your second graders, your third graders, looking at pictures of people giving oral sex, having it passed off as academics? Because that actually happened. It was very graphic. We can't even show you the images on here, on the simulcast. And I can't even read some of the text on air because I might get hit with a decency complaint by some people in some of our markets. That's not an exaggeration. That's a fact. That was what was in these books. And parents were saying that was inappropriate for their young children to read. It was inappropriate. And Disney, the people who worked there decided to get all... They're the ones who got sanctimonious about other people's kids. And Disney used the economic ability that had been granted it, specially, leveraged that to actually fight parents. And so the legislature, it wasn't the governor alone, the legislature and the governor together worked to pull that. Now they have to be on the same playing field as everyone else, and they don't get to pass their tax burden on to everybody else either. And so... when I see people who, and you know, we talked about Nikki Haley earlier, who had tweeted, she did an interview and then she tweeted that she invited Disney to relocate to South Carolina and said that South Carolina isn't her, she said verbatim, quote, South Carolina, we're not woke, but we're not sanctimonious about it. I mean, you at least come up with your own insult. I get that you're auditioning for VP for Trump, but can you at least come up with your own insult? I was shocked that she did this. I mean, way to insult Florida voters. Here's another thing that I want you to be aware of. Were you aware that this wasn't just Republicans either? Okay. It wasn't just Republican voters. I went and I was looking back through this, and there's a significant portion of voters that Democrats supported this bill. Florida Democrats supported the Parental Rights in Education Bill by a huge amount, like over 60%. Now you can kind of understand why the state flipped to red the way that it did, you know, including all statewide elected offices. I mean, this was a Free Beacon post, a Free Beacon story that discussed a survey. This was from a little bit ago. It said the majority of Florida Democratic primary voters supported the state's parental rights legislation. Floridians for Economic Advancement found, and I'll correct myself, it was over 52%. It was actually like 53% of Democrats either somewhat or definitely opposed teaching K through third grade about sexual orientation and practices. What a way to not read the room. What a way to not read the room. Holy cow. I mean, you're insulting an entire state, a state where Democrat voters and non-traditional Republican voters all came together to support these initiatives and to support parental rights, and you're calling that, you're calling it, you're trying to insult DeSantis by borrowing a term, and she desperately wants to be VP. I know, you know, and she sits here and says, and I said it before, she goes out and says, oh, you know, I'm not, she acts like she's like this big fighter against wokery, but she can't mention the fact that, you know, she can't go without 5 seconds without saying, but by the way, I'm a woman running for president, woman running. I mean, she fundraised off it, for crying out loud. But you're insulting an entire state and labeling the fight over parental rights as the way that she did for a VP audition. What a way to misread the room. That many Democrats supported this. And it also shows a great misunderstanding of what we're really fighting. This has nothing to do with wokery. Disney's been woke for a long time. This has to do with the fact that for the first time, Disney crossed the Rubicon and decided to actively fight against parents over sovereignty of their children in the classroom. Can I play some of this for you? This is audio soundbite. I want to give you a flashback. This is what audio soundbite 16. This is the Disney Diversity and Inclusion Manager. These are some of the people that were the loudest against the parental rights and education bill as well. Just a flashback. Listen to this. This is their Zoom meeting.
Last summer, we removed all of the gendered greetings in relationship to our life skills. So we no longer say ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We've provided training for all of our cast members in relationship to that. So now they know it's hello everyone or hello friends. We are in the process of changing over those recorded messages. And so many of you are probably familiar when we brought the fireworks back to the Magic Kingdom. We no longer say ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we say dreamers of all ages. And so I love the fact that it's opened up the creativity, the opportunity for our cast members to look at that. We have our cast members working with merchandise, working with food and beverage, working with all of our guest facing areas where perhaps, you know, we want to create that magical moment with our cast members, with our guests. And we don't want to just assume because someone might be in our interpretation, maybe presenting as female, that they may not.
This is their diversity and inclusion manager. We also have the Disney corporate president, Carrie Burke, audio soundbite 15. She's talking about the alphabet characters in the stories. And then when you introduce these characters, it's not just about introducing these characters. The kids have to understand why these characters are different, because they're placing the emphasis on identity related to how they have sex. So it ends up being a conversation about sex no matter what. Listen to this. This is audio soundbite 15 from their Zoom call.
I'm here as a mother of two queer children, actually. One transgender child and one pansexual child. And also as a leader. One of our execs stood up and said, you know, we only have a handful of queer leads in our content. And I went, what?
This is for kids.
That can't be true. And I realized, it actually is true. We have many, many, many LGBTQIA characters in our stories, and yet we don't have enough leads.
See, because then at some point when you make the character all about their identity, which is about how they choose to have sex, then you have to have that conversation as to why they're different with the kids. I mean, that's why you keep it simple with, like, kid programming. Disney's been woke for a long time, but like I said, these people and and Bob Iger, they decided that they were going to leverage the economic advantage that they had been given in an anti-capitalist, anti-conservative, big government way. So removing that is not big government. In fact, keeping it is big government. To have a politician not understand what this is about and not understand what parents are fighting for is a really unbelievable thing. It's unbelievable in that I feel like, were they playing along the entire time when they nodded their head in agreement with the lawsuits in Virginia that parents filed to protect kids? Was this all just an act? And they decided to go along with it and applaud when they were supposed to and send out, you know, kind of a tweet of agreement when they were supposed to, just to make it look like they were one of you? And then when it comes time to advance themselves in a power struggle, then the veil drops. I didn't dislike Nikki Haley before. I wouldn't say I dislike her now. But I thought her remark betrays her stated purpose. And I think it disqualifies her from office. So I don't know how you come back from that. Instead of, I mean, how do you walk back from that?
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
I also think of the Emmy Award-winning TV shows like Squid Games, which I will confess Doug and I binge-watched at home over a series of weeks.
Okay, that's like regular watching.
And I think of the actress, Yoon Ya-jung, who I met in Seoul last year when I convened groundbreaking South Korean women. She is the first Korean to win an Academy Award.
So they had...
These are examples of the cultural ties and the intertwined history between our nations.
Is that the only thing she can mention is Squid Games? I mean, Pachinko was a huge movie. You can't even acknowledge that. No. Train to Busan, which was one of the scariest, like, horror films, I think, of the past, like, 10 years. That thing was terrifying. It was about zombies. I love zombies. It was a zombie. I mean, there's, like, so many good South Korean television series and... dramas and you know, films, everything. She only knew that? That's the only one she knew? I mean, it's not bad, but that's the only one that she knew? They had a state dinner with South Korean leaders last night. And they had, you know, people who are notable in the South Korean community in the United States, and then, you know, other lawmakers, etc., that were, that they had attend this. But I just thought, of all that, that's not, no, do not put her up. Do not put her up there to speak. It's going to be bad. That's really, that's the only thing that she could. I know that not everyone. Okay, so I don't know if it's a dirty secret. I don't think it is. But like over lockdown, because I got really into crochet cars and anime. Right. I've seen all the anime. Pretty much all of it. I'm going through Monster right now. There's not anything I haven't seen.
Oh, that's not true.
Pretty sure. Just because I don't like some of the stuff that you like doesn't mean that I...
It has nothing to do with that. By the way, I celebrate when we have different tastes when it comes to anime. But I also celebrate when we have the same taste. But do you know there's millions and millions of anime? You have not seen it all. You have not.
No, not all of it. No. But I've seen a lot of it. I mean, you'll spend forever on Crunchyroll. There's like, just on that alone, there's so much. But, I mean, there's so much. There's so many K-dramas. There's so many like good South Korean films. And, I mean, you know, that's like, it just seems like she could have done a little bit more and talk and spoken a little bit more, like, you know, the director of Pachinko or, you know, some of the other major gains that South Korean directors and filmmakers and writers and artists have, you know, just in the past 10 years alone, their art scene has absolutely exploded. Their film scene, they're making some of the best stories. I love K-dramas. In fact, I have to keep my Netflix separate from the rest of my family because it thinks that I am a young South Korean girl. I'm not even lying. Like, it's... And so now I'm like, I want to go to South Korea so bad.
Next, you'll be putting the VPN in.
Oh my gosh, right? I know.
Watching it as though you're from Korea.
Well, one of my oldest son like went over and was looking at my Netflix and he's like, what do you watch? He's like, what in the world? He's like, what do you watch even? I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, you know why? Because I like the characters. It's wholesome. Not everything is skanky because they actually have like, you know, a little bit more morality with how they do some of their programming. But, you know, it's a good escape. That's why a lot of people like anime. It's why I think one of the reasons the anime has exploded for the same, you know, kind of reason.
It's wholesome. It really is.
Yeah. All right. Good is good and evil is evil. All right. We could talk more about this, but today in stupidity.
Oh, man. I had so much to choose from, but we'll go with this one. One of the kids, the White House, threw Biden for a loop here. Listen to this.
The last country I've traveled, I'm thinking what's the last one I was in.
What was the last one?
I've been to 89... Met with 89 heads of state.
Yeah,
so
but the
far.
Last country you were
so,
at.
So where was the last place I was? It's hard to keep track.
The kid's like Ireland.
You're right, Ireland. That's where it was.
How do you not remember going to Ireland?
It was just
what an insult to the Irish. They're like, oh, I thought he'd remember us. Oh my goodness, folks, that does it for us today. We made it to Friday. Friday's tomorrow. Right, we'll lighten it up. We'll have a little fun tomorrow. All right, make sure you sign up for the newsletter, Chapter and Verse at Substack. God bless. Back with you tomorrow.